This is Richard, and I'm going to read John Murphy's article, A Benson Diary, which starts with a poem by Robert Frost, which will be read by Linda.
Whose woods these are, I think I know. His house is in the village, though. He will not see me stopping here to watch his woods fill up with snow. My little horse must think it queer to stop without a farmhouse near, between the woods and frozen lake, the darkest evening of the year.
The Chilterns and the Ridgeway have been wreathed in lachrymose mists, weeping their dew and coating footpaths with a lethal, slippery wetness, and running their icy fingers through the woods, leaving everything dank and cold. And my incipient arthritis unhappily responds in fingers, joints and knees. Even though there are snowdrops in Swinkham and bold crocuses shivering under some trees, and the odd daffodil brave enough to face these grey skies and the wintry chill, even though the days are now beginning to lengthen, and even as the presence of agricultural machinery in the narrows of local roads and on the wide horizons of bare fields, even so, it feels hell of a long way from spring and her careless raptures. And though we in Benson have been blessed and spared in many ways the worst of this winter's weather, somehow still with only a little rain, everything becomes bogged down in mud. The bridle way from the village to Warborough is practically unwalkable these days, as combinations of these various factors have turned this once happily travelled gravel pathways into dangerous skating rinks. Many of these local bridleways, which were always fun to walk on with the dogs, are now so badly potholed they've become an obstacle course of lakes of muddy water that never seems to drain away. At Ewelm there are a couple of slipshod gateways on Cow Common which are almost impassable, and if their treachery is successfully navigated, the grassy field squelches underfoot like a saturated bath mat that disgorges water onto dry feet at each and every step. I've marked the passing of another year, which means this year brings the 10th anniversary of our time here in Benson. Tempus fugit, as my Latin master, Athanasius, would used to say. And this birthday also marks the fact that my university days are also officially half a century ago, and as far from my present today as was the Great War to my 11-year-old self, donning my motley school uniform and catching a train from Maidenhead and then another bus to my school to the far side of Reading. It is therefore also 50 years ago that with grand fanfare, the new school extension was opened with its science labs, library, sports hall and large assembly hall. The then Bishop of Portsmouth, Derek Warlock, came to celebrate the occasion. Both Reading and Maidenhead sat in his diocese. The school choir sang the Mozart Coronation Mass, perhaps not music to everyone's, or indeed anyone's, ears. Now there's nothing left of that complex of buildings that seems fixed at the stars in the heavens during my 7-year sojourn. It lives only in remembrance, lost in mists of an entirely different kind. I must note how quickly the long month of January came and went this year. It's quite true, time accelerates as we accelerate towards the inevitable shuffling off of mortal coils. And now February 2 is half done, and I've somehow got behind with almost everything on my to-do list. Still, my birthday often falls in Lent, but as it happens, Shrove Tuesday is still some way off, and both Lent and Easter are late this year, almost as late as they can be. However, I think for once our Western Easter will actually coincide with the Orthodox Easter this year, offering some sort of token of Christian unity in times that feel as dark and divided as any I can remember. My uncle in Cashel would often opine, "The world has gone mad," usually in reaction to mini-skirted girls and long-haired young men he saw in the newspapers or on TV, which he took to be a token of the imminent fall of civilization. I smiled then as I smile now in recalling his genuine horror. It's a salutary reminder that what we see with horror often turns out not to be as horrible as our fearful imaginings. That said, it was only a few years ago that we here in villages hereabout welcomed the people of Ukraine into our homes and hearts as they fled Russian aggression. Many of these people are still hereabouts living with one foot in the UK and another foot in their homeland. We have a family coming to our church whose son, André, is now fighting on the front line. At church, often in the winter, shadows of the early evening, I see in her face, often tear-stained and her gentle eyes filled with fear, that of a mother for a son. And again, the days leading up to Easter loom large, and the image of that emblematic mother suffering at the foot of the cross where her son hangs for hours, slowly and painfully dying before her eyes. And in the light of that, it feels to me very much as if we're about to reward that same aggression by offering Ukrainians a peace of the sort that made the name of Chamberlain and the city of Munich synonymous with appeasement. Justice forever demands judgment. The best way we mere mortals have in the way of true justice is accordance to the law. We are now embarked on a course which casually sets aside the laws we have and the obligations that come from our shared understanding of their binding nature. As the playwright Robert Bolt has Sir Thomas More observe in A Man for All Seasons, "And when the last law was down and the devil turned round on you, where would you hide, the laws all being flat?" Robert Frost is this month's poet, and this one, Stopping by Woods on a Snowy Evening, was one of President Kennedy's favourites. Ah, a time when politicians still might quote a poet. Times have indeed changed.
He gives his harness bells a shake to ask if there is some mistake. The only other sounds the sweep of easy wind and downy flake. The woods are lovely, dark and deep, but I have promises to keep, and miles to go before I sleep, and miles to go before I sleep.